Welcome, everyone, to Rock Buzz, Ocean Pines Community Podcast. I am Sherry Clifford, and I am here with my co-host, Amy Peck. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views of our guests or others, nor are we affiliated with the Ocean Pines Association. Our mission is to bring factual news and information to the residents and homeowners of Ocean Pines and the surrounding areas. You can join the ROC's Facebook group by searching for Ocean Pines ROC or find us on Twitter and Instagram. Also, be sure to look for the official ROC logo. If you have news or would like to share your story on Rock Buzz, or if you would like to advertise with us, you can visit our website, oceanpinesroc.com, or email us at info@oceanpinesroc.com. Today we have part two of a series of podcasts about the Worcester County Department of Social Services, and we are pleased to have in the Rock Buzz studio the director of DSS, Roberta Baldwin, along with some of her staff that will be joining in on the conversation. We are going to start off by talking to Ocean Pines resident and advisory board member Becky Ferguson to discuss the Adult Services Division and support of Worcester County residents.
Becky, you're an Ocean Pines resident. We're so glad that you're back to discuss Adult Services Division for the support of Worcester County. As we know from our last podcast, advisory board members assist to educate the community and act as ambassadors for the agency's mission, which is to provide timely services to enhance the quality of life for the county's individuals and families. Becky, what are some of the concerning national shifts in demographics, and how does this relate to Worcester County aging adults?
Big question. Considering the national trends and demographic shifts, aging older adults will continue with challenges to saved resources while balancing limited income. Therefore, elderly individuals, especially females with limited income who are living alone, are vulnerable and realized poverty may increase. Varying ability to afford existing extended living facilities presently exists and will continue. Fortunately, home modifications and assistive devices such as walkers have helped older Americans meet their daily needs so that they maintain their independence at home. This aging-in-place trend will likely continue as the number of Americans aged 65 and older is projected to increase by more than 25 million people by 2050. Of particular interest, our older Americans face a caregiving gap, especially those with lower incomes and dementia. Demand for elder care is expected to increase sharply, with a rise in the number of Americans living with Alzheimer's disease, which could actually more than double by 2050 from 6 million to 13 million. For sure, federal budget cuts and tax increases may be inevitable. Social Security and Medicare expenditures will increase.
So, Becky, are those trends the same or significant for Worcester County?
In short, yes. We are the seventh largest county of Maryland and the only one that touches the Atlantic Ocean. According to the 2020 census, Worcester County is slightly more than 54,000 persons strong. Our population has been growing at about 3% annually for the past 3 years with slowly increasing diversity. We have pockets of populated areas, but we remain largely rural in nature. Therefore, getting services to people and promoting access to services for people will continue to be a challenge. Of the total population, Worcester County females are predominant, and 30% are over 65 years of age. Importantly, 75% of our total population is 50 and above. The county's poverty rate is highest among females, and 10% of our elders have a disability. So elderly individuals, especially females with limited income who are living alone, continue to be a vulnerable population for us. Property values continue to rise. We enjoy seeing the value of our homes increase. Therefore, more local tax money is generated to allow for services, but there's competition for those municipal dollars based on municipal needs. And even though our household income has increased over the past 4 years with a mean income of $77,000, more taxes for limited income individuals means more finances to balance. Therefore, varying affordability in living choices continues here.
Becky, my question is, do the trends for Worcester County mirror the trends in Ocean Pines?
interesting, our first and last Ocean Pines survey, I believe, was in 2021. And we showed that our growth was actually in the mid-30 households. Interestingly, retirees and young families have some of the same issues. They're on limited income with certain defined resources. Those survey results, like the census data, could have changed over the last 2 to 3 years because we've had significant occurrences in society to contribute to those changes. We don't at this time have any follow-up demographics for the Ocean Pines community.
So what would be your take-home message, Becky?
Importantly, since the last census, the world, the nation, and our local districts have experienced one of the most disruptive health events in history. We must not underestimate the impact of the pandemic on those local households. Additionally, wars, famine, violence, natural disasters profoundly influence population movement. Therefore, our retail and service workers and community leaders are likely to be the most valuable source of what's truly happening in our local communities. In other words, what we see on the streets may be very different, the same, or emphasized since that 2020 census. Worcester County citizens, after learning how DSS Adult Services may be able to help you, importantly, let us know how we can help you connect.
Becky, thank you for coming back into the Rock Buzz studio. You know I like that data, and it gives us an idea of Ocean Pines demographics and how they contribute to the conversation today. Now, we also want to welcome back Roberta. Last time, we focused on children and the Department of Social Services' need for foster care homes. To our listeners, if you missed that episode, we'll put the link on our Facebook page. Now, today, we're going to be talking about adults that the DSS assist. And like Becky gave us all the data, the 2020 census data shows that the median age of residents in Ocean Pines is 62.6 years. So this information is really going to be important to our listeners. Roberta, how would you like to introduce your crew today?
First off, thank you so much for having me back and allowing me to bring some of the best social workers you will find working in adult protective services. It's important for us to share this information because, as Becky had shared, Worcester County has one of the highest populations of older adults, and it continues to grow. It's an area where people come because it's beautiful, there's a lot to do, and there's a lot that is offered to seniors. But it's also a place where many come and their families are living outside of the area. So when there are situations that do occur or issues come up, people need to know who they can reach out to get that support and help when their families are not close to them.
That's right. We have people who need the services and we also have caregivers. So I guess that's my first question. What adult services does the department provide?
I'd like to answer that question. My name is Brooke. I've been with the department for about 2 years and I earned my master's of social work from The Ohio State University. DSS offers many services to adults. One of them is Adult Protective Services. Adult Protective Services consists of an investigation to assess the individual's needs and safety risks. This program serves persons aged 18 and older who lack the physical or mental capacity to provide for their daily needs. The program provides professional services to protect the health, safety, and welfare of endangered, vulnerable adults.
So also, Brooke, what about adults that need social services?
Social services to adults provides assistance to adults with limited capability seeking to remain or become self-supporting and self-sufficient.
Well, would that include in-home aid services?
Yes. In-home aid services adults 18 or older with functional disabilities. It provides assistance with personal care, chores, and/or activities of daily living to remain safely in their home.
So does DSS offer any services to help the caregiver of an adult?
I'd like to answer that. I'm Leanne. I've been with the department for 3 years, and I have my master's in social work from Salisbury University. We offer respite care. Respite care provides short-term, temporary, in order to provide a period of rest for family caregivers. Another service available is Project Home. Project Home offers an adult foster family model of care that provides a stable, family-like living arrangement in the community.
Well, does DSS investigate cases, and what type of cases are investigated?
The cases that are investigated with Adult Protective Services include physical abuse, sexual abuse, self-neglect, neglect by others, and financial exploitation. Physical abuse is inflicting physical pain or injuries on a vulnerable adult. Sexual abuse is non-consensual sexual contact of any kind. Self-neglect includes failure of a person to perform essential self-care tasks and that such failure threatens his or her own health or safety. Neglect by others includes failures by those responsible to provide shelter, food, healthcare, or protection for a vulnerable adult. Financial exploitation is the illegal taking, misuse, or concealment of funds, properties, or assets of an adult for someone else's benefit.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of need and a lot of investigation. How do you know if an adult is vulnerable?
Hi, my name is Jessica. I've been with the department for about 2.5 years. I received my master's degree at Walden University. An adult is vulnerable if they are age 18 or older, who lack the physical and mental capacity to provide for their daily needs.
Well, if someone knows an adult and they think that they might be vulnerable, what are some of the signs that they should be looking out for if they're concerned about a senior, a neighbor, or even a family member?
Some concerning signs include unexplained injuries or bruises, decline in personal hygiene and appearance, or untreated medical conditions. Some other signs include isolation or being withdrawn from the adult's normal activities. Living in hazardous or unsafe conditions can also be concerning. Other signs include negative changes in an adult's normal social behaviors.
So if you see something, you should say something.
Yes, most definitely.
So once the vulnerable adult has been identified and the case investigated, what do you offer to support that adult or senior in need? Does DSS work alone or with other agencies?
My name is May. I work with the Department of Social Services. I've been with them for about a year. I did do my internship with the APS programs. I did receive my master's degree from Fordham University in New York. So Adult Protective Services workers, we collaborate with outside partnering agencies in order to help make referrals that get adults connected with services. Some of these partnering agencies include the Worcester County Health Department that have programs such as Adult Evaluation and Review Services, or AERS, and Mobile Integrated Community Health, such as MICH. The Worcester County Commission on Aging, who provide programs such as Meals on Wheels, transportation such as Community for Life and Senior Ride, as well as adult medical daycare and senior centers. Other agencies include Worcester County Gold, which provides emergency and basic needs assistance, Shore Up, who provide utility assistance, and Go-Getters, who provide behavioral health assistance. Coastal Hospice can also be used for respite care for those hospice patients. The workers are also able to provide caregiver, sitter, and shelter lists for Worcester County. There are also resources for vision, hearing, assistive devices, and cleaning services.
We are really lucky to have so many amazing organizations in Delmarva. What if an older adult refuses to participate in these services? Can they make their own decisions?
Every adult has the right to self-determination. The SSTA program is a voluntary program in which the adult can refuse services at any time. Adult services investigation works with the individuals to eliminate safety risks. Once needs are assessed and safety risks are eliminated, the adult has the right to refuse services or terminate the investigation.
So what if the adult lacks the capacity to make a good decision?
Capacity is assessed on a regular and ongoing basis while working with the adult. If a medical professional deems that the adult lacks the capacity to make appropriate decisions for themselves, guardianship may be pursued.
So the adult will be protected then?
Yes.
Okay, so I have a question. If our listeners have a concern about a vulnerable adult, be it a family member or a senior they know, what information should they be sharing about the situation that they're seeing and they're concerned about?
When reports are made, the referral source remains anonymous during the entire course of the investigation. When making a report, it is important to include the individual's name, date of birth, address, or location where they can be found, other members of the household, a good phone number to reach the individual at, and a brief summary of the situation and potential dangers. If someone would like to file a report or talk about a situation, they can contact the Maryland Access Point. Maryland Access Point houses several agencies that focus on the safety and welfare of vulnerable adults.
Okay, my question is, if I don't have all that information, let's say I just have some of it, it's still better to reach out to you with what I have in my concern, right?
Yes, of course.
Okay. So what happens when you receive and accept a report?
That's a great question. So it's important for the listeners to know what happens once a report is made. The referral is screened in by our department, and it is determined whether it would be an investigation or whether it's an opportunity for us to visit someone's home to just ask questions and see what type of services they may need to assist them. So one of the staff will come to your home and sit down with you, ask questions, gives you an opportunity to ask them questions, to identify what your needs may be, or different types of referrals or services that may best assist you or your relative or a caregiver or your neighbor. The important thing is if you have any concerns, please call, and then we can figure out what the best route would be to take.
So can we talk a little bit about scams? We hear so much about scams going around. How can older adults and vulnerable adults protect themselves from being victimized?
So older adults and vulnerable adults can protect themselves from being victimized by scammers by avoiding answering phone calls that you're not aware of, verifying the individuals that call or come to your home, and never giving out any personal information over the phone. Adults should never give their Social Security or bank information, as well as their Medicare or Medicaid information, over the phone. If older adults receive phone calls from someone reporting to be their bank, the older adult can hang up the phone and call the phone number on the back of their bank card to verify that call. We often see scams where someone is made to believe that their family member is in trouble. Make sure to call members of your family to confirm and see if this is actually something that is occurring. In terms of Medicare or Medicaid, we often see scams where people are made to believe that they're receiving a free medical device. This is not often the case, and it is important to check with your doctor's office if this is something that is actually happening.
How about other examples of scams that you have come across? Like, how about you hear about the catfishing, like the romance scams? Have you come across some of those too?
We have come across those. Within the romance scams, it's often someone posing to be somebody else. They typically want something other than just to talk to someone. They often ask for gift cards, cash, or bank accounts to be opened for them. An important thing to remember with scams is that if it's too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true.
I've heard of cases where people were actually contacted by a utility and said you can pay your utility bill by sending gift cards. So there's a lot of those scams too, right?
Yes, especially giving the code for the gift card over the phone. If you don't know exactly who you're sending the gift cards to, it's not a good idea. Another important thing to remember is that a majority of financial exploitations occur within the family and that the maltreater is often someone they know.
Wow, this is really good information, and it's not just for seniors. It's for people of any age, things to remember. Now, I know you also talked about respite care for the caregivers, but can you talk about other resources available that are there to support caregivers, because we have a lot of caregivers in our community as well.
Yes, some resources that are available to support caretakers include support groups offered by Atlantic General Hospital and the Maintaining Active Citizens, or MAC, in Salisbury. Other resources include DSS Respite Care and the National Family Caregivers Program. Additional information can be obtained by calling the Maryland Access Point at 410-632-9915.
This is very good information. We will be sure to post the links and numbers to these resources on our Facebook page. We also want to thank everyone for coming in today.
Yes, thank you. Ocean Pines has so many seniors, as our demographics prove, and we have many caretakers of seniors in our community, so we really appreciate this information and your dedication and service to the community. We really want to thank you.
And we will also be sure to post your contact information on our website and Facebook page. If our listeners have any questions for Roberta for the next time she is in the studio, please let us know.
Yes, and please keep sending us your thoughts to keep the discussion going. Join us on our Facebook page by searching for the Ocean Pines ROC, and be sure to look for our official logo.
And if you would like to be a guest, advertise with us, or have a story idea you want us to cover, please email us at info@oceanpinesroc.com. And as always, thank you for listening to Rock Buzz, your community podcast.